All right, good job. Appreciate the good message and song. Thank you for that. Singing some scriptural truth there, Romans chapter 8. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that special relationship, that family relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I'm very thankful for the fatherhood of God and the Heavenly Father that we have. I hope that you know Him personally today through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter 21, if you would please. We'll look at the last part of 2 Kings 21. For a few moments together, we'll start reading about verse number 19 through the end of the chapter and read about a couple of the kings of Judah. You know, Israel in the Old Testament, it was birthed, it came out of Egypt. It was born, a nation was born in a day, so to speak. And they came out, God called them out into the wilderness. And of course, eventually they made it to the promised land after about 40 years of some purging, I guess you could say. And after they got in the promised land and things went well for a while, after King David and King Solomon, the kingdom split. And you had the northern tribe, and that was the more wicked side of the kingdom of Israel. And then you had the southern tribe. You know, that was kind of the what was good left of Israel. Kind of reminds me of, well, I shouldn't say that, should I? All right, I'll just leave that alone. I'm sorry. All right, summertime. So we can, you know, maybe get away with some of that a little bit during the summer. But anyway, that wasn't my point, actually, but I wasn't even going to mention the War of Northern Aggression. I wasn't even going to do that. But as we look at the passage here, we have the kings of Judah talked about, and you have some kings that are in the lineage here. Hezekiah, who was a good king, a lot of good kings in Judah, but there were some bad kings also, and one of them was Manasseh, and we'll read about him starting in about verse number 19. Of 2 Kings 21. Let's look at this together. I'm going to look this morning at a helpful or harmful heritage. We have a heritage. All of us have it. Is it a helpful one or a harmful one? And it depends on what you're looking for and depends on what you want to choose and follow. Let's look at it. 2 Kings 21:19. The Bible says, Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haraz of Joppa. And he, talking about Amon, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh did. Kind of like father, like son here in verse 20. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in and served the idols that his father served and worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord, God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Amon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the books, or rather in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. And if we went through chapter 22, we'd start reading about Josiah. He started reigning when he was 8 years old. And so Josiah is kind of a particular note, not just because of his young age when he started reigning, but because of what happened during his administration. And I'll refer to that a little bit, but you have Amon here. His father was Manasseh. Manasseh was a wicked king. If we read some more in 2 Kings 21 or went to the Chronicles or other accounts, we'd find out how wicked Manasseh was. Amon's grandfather, though, was Hezekiah. Hezekiah wasn't a perfect man, but he was someone that did right in the sight of the Lord. There's that testimony given to him. And then you have Amon, his son. So we have his father, his grandfather, and we also have his son, what we could call, I guess, four generations, so to speak, four kings of Judah. Southern tribes of Judah, of Israel. And you have Josiah, who actually is notable, not only for his age, but when he begins his administration, as he gets into about, what was it? Verse 3 says the 18th year of his life, I guess, and not of his reign, his 18th year of his life, he begins to repair the temple that one of his grandfathers had built, Solomon, David. The father before that had accumulated the materials and made that possible for Solomon to build that great temple. So Josiah begins to repair the temple, and as they're repairing the temple, the high priest Hilkiah, he finds the book of the law in the temple. You know the story, don't you? The house of the Lord, you got that famous verse, I guess it is, somewhere around verse number 8. And Hilkiah says to Shaphan, he says, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And that made a difference for the nation when they started listening and hearkening and hearing the words of the book of the law and then putting them into place and governing their own lives and the nation's lives by the book of the law. And what a revival came to that nation and what a blessing that was. And you can see those good things that happen in the administration of Josiah. What a blessing that is. But look at verse 13 of 2 Kings 22. It's probably real close there for you. Look at it. 2 Kings 22, 8, what did I say? 13, 22, 13. This is Josiah speaking. He says, go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book. Found the book of the law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. That is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words. Look at that word hearkened. If you see it in the text there, you can see the word here in the beginning of the word hearken, can't you? And then the word here, you can see the word ear. You got to give ear to God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. He said, our fathers have not hearkened. His father, Amon. His father, Manasseh. They have not hearkened. And the reason that Israel's in the terrible shape that it's in and all the repair that has to be done, not only to the house of the Lord, but to the people of the Lord, is because they hadn't hearkened to God's word. So here I see two different sides of the story, I guess. You can look on the left hand, and you can see that you have a harmful heritage for someone like Josiah. He can look at his dad and his granddad. Didn't do very well. Didn't follow the works of the Lord. He can look on the right hand to his great-grandfather, Hezekiah. That's a good heritage right there. You can look to his father, David, as it talks about in verse number 2, and he, Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David. His father, he had a great-granddad back up the family tree a little further that did right in the eyes of the Lord, a man after God's own heart, like we often refer to. So my question this morning is, we look at this Old Testament example, and we can choose two things, just like Josiah could, a helpful heritage or a harmful heritage. Today, most of us can say the same thing, can we not? We live in a world today where there's a lot of harmful heritages being handed down. You know how a heritage gets harmful? How it gets full of harm? When folks quit hearing the Word of God. When dads quit hearing, giving ear to the words of the everlasting God, the everlasting words of the everlasting God. That's where the harm comes in. But aren't you glad for all the help that comes in for a father or a grandfather or a great-grandfather that will actually hear the Word of God and live after it and walk after it? What a blessing that is. Let's talk about that this morning. We know there's some good verses in the New Testament that speak to, I guess you could say, this issue. Verses like Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, where there's good information given to me and you, and it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's what you don't do, provoke them to wrath. Here's what you do, you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And God does that for us. He tells us what's wrong on the left hand and what's right on the right hand. And we have the choice whether we follow the harmful actions or the helpful actions of the Word of God. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Every father, every grandfather should positively impact their children for the Lord. Now, how do you do that? The question is, how do you do that? Do you go to the world today to find out how to be a good dad? Do you go to the world today to find out how to have a good heritage in family? I know a lot of people do that, and I know there's some helpful information out there, but I'm so glad that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? That's where it has to start. That has to be where your feet are firmly planted and founded. So let's talk about that this morning. Let's talk about how we as fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, whatever we got assembled here today, or fathers in the future, however you want to say that, how we can make sure that we have a positive impact, a helpful heritage that we give to our children. Number one, let's look at it. Number one, now don't plan on being lengthy. Just going to look at three things here. Number one, the best way, the first way, I guess you could say, that we can impact our children for good is through a godly walk. A godly walk. What does that mean? That doesn't mean the way you walk. You don't have to walk like John Wayne to have be a good father or grandfather. He had a good walk, by the way, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the way we live life. The way we live life every day. That's our godly walk, walking and living according to God's way. That's a godly walk. That's a godly way of life. That's living after God's word. Now ask yourself, let's ask ourselves this morning and do a little introspection here. As a father, what characterizes our walk? What characterizes our life? Would we hate to ask that to our children and see what they'd have to say? Oh, that might get a little, upsetting for us a little bit. What characterizes our walk? If we look at Manasseh and we look at his example here in the passage, he's the father of Amon. Amon's the father of Josiah. I went through that family tree now. If we look at his walk, the way he lived his life, he apparently, verse number 11, God's speaking against him, and it says, I'm talking about 2 Kings 21:11. It says, Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Apparently, Manasseh was a man that was more pagan than the Amorites that lived in the land before they got there. That's pretty bad. The people that were not of God, this person that was supposed to be of God lived worse than those people that were not of God. You ever seen any believers today that try to name the name of Christ and they live worse than a lot of people out in the world that don't name the name of Christ? That's a very sad walk right there. That's a harmful heritage that's being passed down. It doesn't stop in verse 11. In fact, I could read it all, and it would be a terrible indictment against this king Manasseh. But look at verse 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 15 even says that Manasseh provoked God to anger. God, the things that Manasseh did, the way he lived his life, his walk of life, provoked God to bring the consequences of Manasseh's sin upon the nation of Israel. God had given law in Old Testament times. You can read it in Deuteronomy. He'd given promises of blessing. If you do these things that my word tells you to do, then you're going to be blessed. It was a covenant relationship. Walk after my law and obedience, and you'll receive the blessings and the benefits of that. Walk after disobedience, disobey my words, my law, and you'll experience the cursings of the law. I'm so glad today that I can say in New Testament times in Jesus Christ that I'm glad every promise in the book's not mine. I know everybody wants to say every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, all that kind of stuff. I'm glad they're not, by the way. Have you ever read the Bible? Amen? Amen. There's a lot of cursings for being disobedient to God, and I'm glad in Jesus Christ that he took all the cursings of the law upon himself. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and his own body was torn, and his own blood was shed to pay for all those sins and transgressions and offenses when it came to breaking the law in Old Testament times. And today in Jesus Christ, you're forgiven if you know him. You're saved from the penalty and the consequences and the cursings of the law. That's good news right there. It really is good news. But boy, there are some cursings that are outlined. And when Manasseh walked the way he walked and caused the nation, caused Judah to walk the way that they walked, there was God's wrath they had to deal with, the penalty, the consequences, the reaping day for what they had sown together as a king and as a nation. Well, Manasseh did some bad things. You think if he provoke God to wrath, do you think if he discouraged Judah to sin, caused them to sin, do you think that maybe he left a harmful heritage to his son, Amon also? I mean, I think that just 2 + 2 = 4 there, doesn't it? I really do. I mean, if that's how he was with his nation, and that's how he was with his God, I'm sure with his son, he was guilty of the discouragement and the frustration and provoking his own son to wrath. I read a I've heard this statement for years. Try to help it when you're trying to help counsel folks and help people through the Word of God get the victory over some of the disappointments in their past, whether it was their own or whether it was somebody else in their family or whatever. You understand this sometimes. You don't understand why people do what they do, but realize this, that hurting people often hurt people. People that are hurting and wounded, they often are the ones that lash out and hurt other people. And I imagine that Aemon, if you just want to look at him as a human being here, not as the evil king that's chronicled for us in the record, I bet he was a hurting fella growing up with a dad like that. I bet he hurt. And I bet it caused him to try to lash out and hurt others. And if we look at his heritage, you could say like father, like son, and it wasn't a good heritage. It was a harmful one. Well, I'm glad that we can keep reading in the account, aren't you? I'm glad that God can give grace and give victory even to the human tragedies that we face in this earthly life. I can ask the question again, what characterizes your walk? I can be personal today. Look at my walk, look at your walk, look at our lives together. Then I can ask the question, what should characterize our walk? What should characterize my walk and your walk, my life and your life? And I see a good example here when I move my thumb and keep reading. I get to chapter 22, and I see about a young man named Josiah. And I like it when you look at it in verse 2 again. I'll read it to you. 22:2, I've already read it once. And he, Josiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Just because Aemon did wrong doesn't mean that Josiah had to do wrong. Just because Manasseh had done wrong doesn't mean that Josiah had to do wrong. You understand that? Aren't you glad that we all have our own choices we can make? We can all choose the heritage that we deem that we want to follow. I mean, all our family trees have crooked branches on it, do they not? I've said it before, but you remember the fellow that hired a guy, paid him $1,000, says, I want you to look up my family tree. I want you to make it all official and give it to me. He was a rich fellow, and he was sure that, you know, there was going to be some wonderful history there and heritage that he could find. So that guy did. He went on, this is back in the old days before the internet, and, you know, he worked and he looked under every rock and crevice, and he finally brought him his whole family tree back and gave it to that wealthy man. He started to thumb through it and look through it, and he paid him $3,000 to cover it all back up. So the point is, we can make a choice today, can't we? We can choose right, or we can choose wrong. And just because others might have chose wrong doesn't mean we have to. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God hasn't fixed the game and you're not just an actor playing out the human tragedy? God hasn't fixed the game. He's given us all the ability to make our own decisions, to exercise our free will, and we can have a helpful heritage that we can follow in this earthly life. What a blessing that is. And that's what Josiah did. He walked after God's word. He made sure that the nation of Judah, that Judah walked after God's word, and great things happened as a result, as a good consequence, if you want to say it that way, as a good reaping day, because Josiah and the nation of Judah walked after God's word. Well, what should characterize my life and your life, our walk? Well, our children should see Christ in us, should they not? Amen. It's been sung about this morning several times over. Our children and grandchildren should see Christ in us. I didn't say our children should see religion in us. I didn't say that. I know some of you get mixed up between religion and Christ, but let me try to unmix you up this morning, okay? There's a difference between religion and Christ, and we want our children to see Christ in us. That's what we want. And the way they see Christ in us is if we're in this book right here. If we're in this book right here, then you know what? Just the natural thing that's going to happen, the natural reaping day that's going to happen, the natural sowing and reaping that operates amongst all of us is if we're in this book right here, then Christ is going to show forth in our life. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. When the word of Christ dwells in you richly, there's going to be some teaching and admonishing that goes on. There's going to be some help. There's going to be some instruction. There's going to be some good fruit and a helpful heritage that goes on. Amen. Aren't you glad for fathers and grandfathers that are fathers of the book? Amen? Amen. fathers of the Word of God, and the Word of God is precious to them like it was to Josiah. You can thank the Lord for that today. Our children should see Christ in us. We should have the Word of God on the inside. The written Word is going to lead to the living Word living through us. It really is. We should treat our loved ones, let's just say it this way, we should treat our wife with respect. All of us should we not? Have you ever, I'm asking a question I already know the answer to. Have you ever seen someone that's a father that wants respect, but yet they don't treat their one that's supposed to be the most special person on the face of the earth with respect? Is that a good example, or is that a bad heritage to leave right there? I think we know the answer to that. We should give love and respect to our wife. We shouldn't undermine them in any way. We should hold them up and help them and love and cherish them like the Scripture tells us to. You do that in front of your children, they're actually, even if they don't agree, or maybe you're siding with mom again, you know what they're going to do? They're going to respect you and feel secure in their family life because they have a father and mother that love each other. Amen. That brings security to a child. It really does. You fuss and fight with your wife. You belittle her. You tell her she's wrong, or you dress her down, so to speak, with your words in front of your children, and you'll find children that don't respect their parents and eventually won't respect their wife, their mother. They won't respect their father either in the future. And by the way, that's foundational because that's in the home. What about when you get out of the home? You should treat others with love and respect also. Oh, yeah, you should. Don't be complaining about other people all the time to your children. You can make your children bitter people. Amen. That's right. It's true. Don't be complaining about people all the time. I don't know if that's human trying to assign blame to somebody else so the blame doesn't get attached to us, but that's your humanity. That's sure not a heritage that God gives us in His Word. Our words are to edify and to build up. Ephesians chapter 4 and other places speak of that. And if you're criticizing and tearing down, then your words, you're participating in corrupt communication. That's what the Scripture says. And the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is to the use of edifying, building up, making stronger, encouraging, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So all that negative stuff is negative, and leave it alone. Let it go. Understand that your words mean something. They have power. We should treat our loved ones and those inside our home and those outside of our home with love and respect. We should love our children enough to spend time with them. That's one of the ways you express love. Amen. You've heard me say it before. I'll repeat it again for Father's Day today. How do you spell love? Well, one of the best ways as a father for you to spell love is T-I-M-E. Spend time. Let those children know that they're important. They're on your schedule, and they take an important place on your schedule. I remember the story about a young, successful attorney. This is from the older days. And he was giving a talk at one time, and he said, the greatest gift I ever received was a gift I got one Christmas when my dad gave me a small box. Inside the box was a note saying, son, this year I will give you 365 hours, an hour every day after dinner. It's yours. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll go where you want to go. We'll play what you want to play. It will be your hour. The attorney said, my dad not only kept his promise, he said, but every year he renewed his promise. And it's the greatest gift I ever had in my life. I am the result of my father's time. Isn't that a good testimony right there? You know what he knew? He knew his father loved him. His father's an important man. His father's a wealthy man. Could have got him an expensive gift for Christmas, which is what most kids are after. But instead, he gave him a most precious gift that changed that son's life for the rest of his life. What a blessing that is to think about that. Oh, that's on the right hand. That's positive right there. That's a helpful heritage. I've read testimonies before of harmful heritages. Have you not? You They just did a thing on ESPN here recently. I didn't really get to watch very much of it or any of it, I don't think. But I think they outlined did a program on the top 10 coaches in NFL history or whatever it was, something like that. Maybe it's more than 10, but so I don't even know who came in first. I know either first or second was Vince Lombardi and Bill Walsh. Probably Vince Lombardi was first. Years ago, someone was interviewing one of Vince Lombardi's sons, interviewing him about his life being the son of greatest coach ever, Vince Lombardi, and the grown son made a statement something like this. He says, yes, my dad was a great coach. He never played catch with me, but he sure was a great coach. Isn't that sad? They don't talk about that when you do specials on ESPN. No, we have choices we can make. A helpful heritage, walking after God's word, or a harmful heritage. Many times walking after our humanity, ourself. Let me hurry on. We want to have a positive impact in our children's lives and our family's heritage. We can do that through our godly walk. Well, what about through our godly worship also as a father? Secondly, I see through our worship, it's very important. I would say this, if the father doesn't worship God in the home, most likely the rest of the family won't either. It won't always be like that, but generally speaking, I guess you could say the precedent could be set that if the father will not worship God in the home, if God's word is not important to him, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not important to him in the home, it's probably not going to be important to the others that live in the home. Back to Manasseh and his bad, harmful heritage that he left. He had idols. Remember what I read in verse number 11? He says that he hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin. How did Judah sin? With his Manasseh's idols. That's what it says in 2 Kings 21:11. Manasseh and his harmful heritage that he gave not only to his children and his home, but also to his nation, he had idols that hindered him from worshiping the true God. Oh, there was all kinds of other nations there in Canaan land, so to speak, that worshiped other gods, that worshiped false idols, idols that had been around for hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of years, even at this time, and yet he didn't worship the true God because he had his own idols that he wouldn't let go of. They were precious to him. I could ask the question, do you have any idols in your life that are hindering your closeness to God? Well, we could get personal with a little list, couldn't we? Let me say it this way, do you have any idols in your life, fathers, that are hindering your closeness to your family? Because the same idols that will hinder your relationship vertically will hinder your relationship horizontally. I got my directions right, didn't I? Okay. Now, they'll hinder your relationship, your closeness to your family. They really will. There's a story about a young man who was standing to be sentenced to the penitentiary. And the judge had known him from childhood, and he was well acquainted with his father. This young man's father was a famous legal scholar and the author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law of Trusts. Do you remember your father? Asked the magistrate. I remember him well, Your Honor, came the reply. Then trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, as you are about to be sentenced, and as you think of your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him? Well, there was a pause. Then the judge received an answer he had not expected. The young man said, I remember when I was young and went to his office. He looked up at me from his book he was writing and said, run along, boy, I'm busy. When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away saying, run along, son, this book must be finished. Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend. The magistrate muttered to himself, alas, your dad finished the book but lost his son. I don't know what idols it might be, but it all comes back to you thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Yeah. Just remember, once you became a father, that was a gift from God, and it's your job to pour yourself into that child. It's not about you. Don't pretend everything's about you. Don't live your life like everything revolves around you, and you're the universe, and you're the center of the universe. Everybody else is just living there. Don't do that. That's an unscriptural way to perceive and approach life. It really is. That's an idol. That's an idol. Get rid of the idols. Idol worship just causes harm. It just causes people to sin. That's what happened with Manasseh. That's what happened with Judah. Don't let it happen in your home. It shouldn't happen in our lives. No, it shouldn't. We should know better. And let me hurry on to say thirdly, lastly, not only should we have a positive impact upon our family, our children, the right kind of heritage, through our walk and through our worship, but also through our wisdom. Remember watching the movie that you see at Christmas time, It's a Wonderful Life? You remember Jimmy Stewart George Bailey, as he's a young kid, he doesn't know what to do in the pharmacy, in the drugstore. So he looks up on the wall and he sees this little sign that says, Ask Dad, he knows. Father should be a place where you can go and get the right kind of wisdom. It really should be. And here's another way we should leave a positive impact and the right kind of heritage, and that's through godly wisdom. Amen. Here in the passage that we read about a few minutes ago, he lacked wisdom. I know he lacked wisdom because in verse 23, it says he had some of his own people, some of his own servants, some of those that were close to him. They rose up against him, and his lack of wisdom cost him his throne, his kingdom, and even his very life. The people of Judah, they weren't after his life. In fact, the ones that killed him and conspired against him, they put them to death, and then they put his son, Josiah, only 8 years old, on the throne. So it shows me that he lacked wisdom. He had the wrong people around him. He didn't have the perception and the wisdom that he needed to rule God's people the right way. Now, you have to have wisdom. A father must impact his children through his wisdom. He should impart wisdom to his children. And the way that you do that is the same way that you walk the right way and the same way that you worship the right way, and that's through the Word of God. I said it before and I'll mention it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't expect your children to be people of wisdom if you don't give them the fear of the Lord, the truth of God's Word. Well, here's a couple things and we'll finish up. A father must impart wisdom to his children like this. Number one, he had to teach his children to carefully guard their words. I already talked about how important words are. A father ought to teach his children to carefully guard their words. Proverbs 18:21 says it this way, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Oh, that was just words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. No, that's not true. Words do hurt. They do hurt. They do cut. They do wound. So it'd be better to not give those words out. If you don't have something nice to say, what did your mom tell you? Don't say nothing at all, right? Something like that. It's in the Bible. Just kidding. No, carefully guard your words. Proverbs 17, verses 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Oh, did you hear me? He that hath knowledge spareth his words. That doesn't mean he's got a multitude of words and he's going around filling everybody's ear and everybody's time and everybody's day and everybody's schedule. No. He spareth his words. So if you have knowledge and you have wisdom, the less you talk. How about that right there? That's good stuff right there. Oh, I mean, I could apply that to social media and everything. The less you update your status, the smarter you are. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Boy, we need to put that in print somewhere, don't we? We all need to see that every day, don't we? We'll write that on the inside of our eyelids or something. Now, let me say it again. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth up his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. You need to write that verse down. Proverbs 17, 27 and 28. It's like, I always say this is Mark Twain. I don't know if it's Mark Twain or not, but we'll pretend that he said this if he didn't. If someone calls you a fool, don't open up your mouth and prove them right. Whoever said that got that from God's word, I'm pretty sure. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. No reason to open your mouth and prove that wrong, okay? Carefully. Here's God's wisdom. Carefully guard your words. Here's another point of wisdom that we should give in our heritage. Serve God now. Serve God now. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, Proverbs 27:1. For thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. Oh, I'm going to change. I'm going to be the man I should be. I'm going to be the father. I'm going to be the grandfather I should be. That's down the road. I just haven't got there yet. I'm going to do that one day. No. Boast not thyself tomorrow. Today's the day to do right. Today's the day to be that right kind of father. Today's the day to establish the helpful type of heritage that we all need. No, it's today. And here's another one. Admit when you've been wrong. I don't know why it is, but it seems like part of fatherhood is saying, well, I've never made a mistake. I don't do anything wrong. Why when you're wrong and you know it, and why when you're wrong and your children know it, do you want them to pretend that you're right? I don't understand that. I don't see what profit and help comes from that. Proverbs 9, verses 8 and 9, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Sometimes we make scorners out of ourselves, and they don't like being reproved. They don't like anybody to disagree with them. If you disagree with them, then that means they're automatically going to hate you. But here's what the Bible says, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. So a wise man doesn't pretend that he's right all the time. In fact, when it's pointed out that he has made a mistake or that he has done something wrong, he actually appreciates someone coming and caring enough about them to say, hey, you messed up here. So a wise man's going to love it when somebody comes and reproves him. It says, give instruction to a wise man. I'm still in Proverbs 9, 8, and 9. Give instruction to a wise man. He will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Well, where are we at? Are we a wise man or a just man? Or are we that scorner that doesn't like any reproval of any kind? Think about it. Part of being a father is being able to admit when you're wrong and humbling yourself. I think that helps the child to see that person in authority, that person that's above them, cares enough about them they're not going to carry on a charade like they're right all the time when they know they're wrong. I think it helps. I think it connects. I think it hits home there. And by the way, when it comes to fathers, we need to make sure our children understand that we have sinned and done wrong and that we're looking to another for our salvation. So many fathers, we give off the mindset to our children that we can do anything, we can fix anything, there's nothing we can't do, and father is Superman, but you know what? There's no father that's ever been able to save himself. All fathers are included in the word all in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So a father that cares about the eternal soul of his children and leaving that heritage of salvation in his family, he's going to direct his children to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's this Spanish story, something that happened in Spain. Spanish story of a father and son who had become estranged. Well, the son ran away. And the father set out to find him. He searched for months and months to no avail. Finally, kind of a last desperate attempt, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper. And the ad read like this, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The story says that on Saturday, by noon, that 800 Pacos had showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their father. 800 Pacos. Tell you what, there's one father that can forgive 800 Pacos. Amen? there is one Father that has never been wrong before, and we know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus today as your personal Savior? There's no way for a father here on earth to impart wisdom to his children without first pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The one who loved us, the one who died for us, the one who was buried and rose again the third day and accomplished our salvation. Fathers and children, family alike, he accomplished our salvation. Do you know him today? Is he your personal Savior? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for listening to me this morning. We're going to have a time of invitation. Before we have Brother Cruz come up and lead us an invitation hymn, let me ask you a couple questions, please, on this Father's Day. Questions are important ones. Oh, I could talk to you about looking inside your heart and